which was uploaded on the website. I'm afraid I underestimated how popular this session would be, so you will have to share hard copies if you are high-tech and you have an electronic device and maybe want to pull it up on the website. That would be cool. I'm going to be moving through the first few slides, which are summarized on the fact sheet that we put out together with the Board of Pharmacy, and you can read more about all of that. That's kind of the basics of what we did and how it turned out. And then what I want to get to is some of the more interesting, at least from my point of view, analysis that we did that's not included on the fact sheet. So we have a very long title, and Jim Davis is also credited here because he's the one who's done the data wrangling that enabled our Board of Pharmacy to release these prescriber feedback reports. And I am the one, as the evaluator, who said, okay, how are they working, how could they be better? So that was my part of the puzzle. So as you've heard, the prescription monitoring program's been up and running for a while in New Mexico. We know that PMPs, there is some evidence for that they can have a positive impact. And recently, our Board of Pharmacy got some money to do prescriber report cards, which New Mexico, in its interest in being a little different, full of lots of individuals, decided to call, based on our collaborative effort, reports, not report cards, feedback reports. Report cards was felt to have a negative high school connotation. So this is what the first page of one, if you were someone who prescribed more than 20 controlled substance patients, you would get something that looked like that. The flip side, which is not as pretty, is all the definitions and all the fine print. So the idea is that this would encourage people to use the PMP and that it would share some info with them. So here you've got both the bars would show the statewide average, the average for your specialty, and what your average was. This is just a quick timeline. As we heard this morning, drug overdose prevention, of course, requires us to move pretty fast. We piloted these prescriber feedback reports and surveys back in August. We sent it to a sample. Once we knew what we found out from that, we quickly evaluated it and then got our first batch of prescriber feedback reports sent out to everybody in November, and managed to get it all written up and sorted out by January, February, shared that with our statewide advisory council and with everyone else we could think of. And right now, our prescribers are currently receiving their next quarterly prescriber feedback reports, and I am waiting to see what our next round of the survey will tell us. So the pilot survey quickly just was a random sample. We wanted to find out, was it useful, was it accurate, if there was anything they had to say about specific report elements, all those little bar charts, the definitions. And, you know, it was overwhelmingly positive. I don't always see survey results that are this positive, especially when you're surveying medical practitioners. So based on that, we went forward with just minor changes to what we had done in the pilot. So these are the survey results from the first release to everyone who has a significant number, or I shouldn't say significant in this audience, but a reasonable number of controlled substance patients. We didn't want to send the surveys and the reports to people who just write 2 or 3 prescriptions a quarter, because the data would be pretty meaningless. So we had 336 people respond to the survey, which, again, remember what a small state New Mexico is and that it's a health professional shortage area. So this was good. What we loved was that the people we did hear from were very representative of the people we sent the reports to. So over 60% were people who go through the medical licensing board. Those are MDs and medical PAs. Nurse practitioners, that includes all advanced practice nurses, were a little bit overachieving in terms of responding to the survey. They were great. That's why their blue bar sticks up a bit. Our dentists were not as good about responding to the survey. But again, we got, you know, everything else was very, very consistent in terms of response. And we also got responses from pretty much all over the state. The blue is the number of people who identified that as a primary area that they practice in, and the hash marks are secondary areas. Especially in rural counties, we have a lot of medical practitioners who go on a loop. And the three counties in white, those are very rural areas. Hardin County has an estimated population of under 700 people. So the fact that we didn't hear from anybody in Hardin County didn't disturb us too much. This was great. It was very, again, you can read a bit more about it in the fact sheet. And the ratings in terms of usefulness and accuracy were still quite strong and positive. Very useful plus very accurate. I mean, that's close to a third of people. One thing that we had changed from the pilot was that some of our folks admitted in the free response section, they said, well, I said I thought it was accurate, but I'm not really sure. So we added the not sure category. So, and you can see that was 8%, close to 8.5% of people said, I really don't know. And this would, of course, be people who we want to engage in using the PMP and finding out if it's accurate. And there was, in fact, at least one provider who said, this is totally inaccurate. I did not write these prescriptions. And that is now an investigation with the Board of Pharmacy because he didn't write those prescriptions. He was right. This was an unintended positive consequence of communicating with these providers about what the PMP was telling us, because as Jim said, this is what the pharmacies tell us. These are the prescriptions they're filling. Oh, all right. Once again, you will have to take my word for it. These are all the elements, and it is on your handout. These are all the elements included in the report, and it is 50.4 and higher. The thing that everyone was most interested in is the one at the bottom. That is, they were most interested in knowing what proportion of their prescriptions were overlapping opioids and benzos. And for all the reasons Jim talked about, that's why people really want to know that. All right, this is the analysis stuff where we get a little interesting. We wanted to look, we had enough respondents that we really could kind of do some stratification. And non-metro respondents, people who work outside of Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Las Cruces, and Farmington, basically, or Gallup, said that they found these reports even more useful. They're the gray bars, which I hope are visible, versus the metro areas. They also were more likely to strongly like the accuracy. The other stratification I wanted to do, of course, was the medical board licensees, so MDs. The MDs were less likely, and again, this did approach statistical significance, to assume that it wasn't, or to think it wasn't very accurate, or to not be sure if what was in the report for them was accurate than everyone else. So this is, again, something, since that's about three-fifths of the folks, we wanted to look at that. This is where, though, I thought, you know, in addition to that, obviously there's a big difference between being an MD in Albuquerque in a specialty clinic and being an MD in, say, Union County, which is very, again, very rural. So a little simple cluster analysis allowed us to look at both of those things at once. And I experimented with a few other options, but this was the one that seemed the most solid. We have at least 10% of respondents in each cluster. We had three metro area clusters, the medical board, the nursing board, and everybody else, podiatrists, et cetera. And then two non-medical clusters, again, one or two non-metro clusters, one of them medical and one of them everybody else, but largely nursing, because if you have your handout, you'll see that a lot of our advanced practice nurses work in mixed rural-urban counties or in rural ones. So when you start looking at this, you realize that just stratifying by medical board versus non or license or by rural versus urban, you actually miss that purple dot, cluster 5, are our non-metro medical board folks, so rural practicing docs who have a much higher, again, much higher opinion than cluster one, which is our urban ones. And again, this has a lot to do, presumably, about the kind of practice they have, the kind of patients they see. And as someone who's a doctor who's on the statewide advisory board puts it, you know, if I can't refill someone's prescription, it's a long drive to the next shop. So this is, they're also likely to work in smaller practices that have less of this kind of reporting coming back at them from their practice. And so this is particularly appreciated. However, medical board licensees were the most likely to write physical comments in the free response boxes. They wanted to tell us what they thought. So just quickly, the qualitative analysis did some themes here. Practice situations and challenges. Now, about 73% folks responded. These are not, a lot of these were multi-thematic. People told us about more than one thing. But suggestions for the PFRs, which we were actively looking for, they talked about the relation to their own practice. Either their own practice has been trying to cut back on high-dose opioids, and they're happy to see that their feedback report suggests that's happening. And again, the new and surprising info. We had some people write in and said, I have had no idea I prescribed that many benzos. I'm going to be looking to see if maybe I need to tweak that a little bit and work with my patients. So, and you can also do cluster comparisons with the free text responses. This, again, is your Metro versus non-Metro medical board folks. And you see stuff shifting around. Issues with specialty categories were an issue for the Metro docs, again, more higher levels of specialization. They were more likely to identify things they thought were actually wrong. But in both cases, they really did see a lot of, they related this to how their own practice works, which I think was very valuable information for us. And then this is just a quick look at the nurses. As I said, about three-quarters of the non-Metro category was nursing. So this also moved around. Specialty categories obviously mattered for advanced practice nurses in urban areas more than elsewhere. All right, and this is just quickly the breakdown. I categorize things as positive, critical, or neutral. And again, remember that bar in the middle is the everybody else who practices in a metro area. So that includes podiatrists and psychologists. It's really kind of a grab bag. And I think a lot of people weren't really quite sure what to make of their reports, which is why we'll want to see what they say in subsequent quarters. Again, in all cases, things were positive. But the two on the end, of course, are our non-metro. First, the nurses and everyone else in four, and the non-metro medical board folks. And again, they were really, really, really appreciative of getting these reports. And it, you know, again, it's going to shape not only how the Board of Pharmacy communicates with them in future, but also has implications for how we make changes to the prescriber feedback reports. So we got some suggestions. There's a lot of this in the report that I wrote about this. We are looking into ways to help make the data from this more available to practitioners in ways they can use it. And we are doing improved specialty reporting. Now, as Jim would warn you, the problem with pulling out comparisons by specialty in New Mexico is that we have so few practitioners for many specialties. Again, the numbers are just too small. And people tend to want, some of the specialty providers wanted to only be compared to people in their very specific subspecialty. And the answer to that is there are only three of you in the whole state, so we can't really do that. So we're continuing to do that. As I said, we're sending stuff out now. We are keeping the basic format because the response has been largely very positive. We are looking, and the Board of Pharmacy is looking into ways to supplement this. We have added oncologist and a couple other specialty options. We also included a final text box. So respondents can, because this is an anonymous survey, some people did give us their contact information, but others, a few of those very few dissatisfied customers wrote, "Board of Pharmacy needs to contact me immediately," but they didn't tell us who they were or where they were. So even though there was contact info for the Board of Pharmacy at the end of the survey, so you could literally, you know, if you're doing the survey on your left, you could literally pick up the phone and call the Board of Pharmacy. We've added something that will make sure we know how to get a hold of people who clearly want to communicate and don't realize that when I say anonymous, I mean anonymous. So, thank you.